Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the fad-driven church tonight on Issues Etc. Pastor Gregory Alms is our guest. It is something, I recently wrote this article on the fad-driven church, and I was, to be quite honest, somewhat surprised. I was surprised how many people contacted me and said, "That's my church. That's the church I go to, and I don't know what to do about it." One person even wrote and said, "I am suffering from fad fatigue. I'm tired of it. I would give anything just to go back to where the pastor stands in the pulpit and preaches from the Bible, rather than watching the videos or watching someone else tell me about my life and my purpose in life and all of these small groups, and I'm worn out." Maybe that's you. Join us tonight as we continue our conversation on the fad-driven church. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We will be giving away copies of this book by Oz Guinness called Prophetic Untimeliness to the listeners with the best questions and comments in this hour. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go straight back to the phones. We'll talk in Austin, Texas with Humberto. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello.
Hello. What's your question or comment?
Well, I'm listening to your program. I love your program. I love your type of program. I love listening to Pastor Alms. He's very knowledgeable. I just recently was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm 56 years old, but I'm finally coming to learning the things that he wants me to do and to find salvation. But I studied the King James Version, the NIV Bible, and I'm familiar with the Martin Luther, and I think he was correct in chastising the church and the church leaders, basically the leaders. But what happened is that it fragmented the universal church. And from that fragmentation, I believe, came other fragmentations. So, and now everybody's got their own version.
So what's your question or comment, Humberto?
Well, speaking about the fads, you know, I believe that, just anybody can consider themselves a leader if they quote some scriptures and the flock will follow him because they want to listen to him. But they make promises they can't keep, is my comment.
Humberto, thank you very much. Now, his observation there, Pastor Alms, he connects it to perhaps what he calls a fragmentation of the church universal at the time of the Reformation, and you might want to respond to that as well. But this idea that now, you know, everyone can kind of, whoever wants to put a book together, if they got enough skill to put together an attractive enough program, they all become authorities, individual authorities. Your response to that first.
Yes, I mean, that's one of these symptoms of this fad-driven church, that people can set themselves up as authorities, and people will follow them, as the caller said. You know, put a few Bible verses in there and call yourself a leader, and you can have yourself a following and oftentimes deceive people. And this marketing and publishing industry kind of serves as a facilitator for that, because it, you know, they're driven not to impute motives to them, but often they seem to be driven by sales, profits, and they generate these things and these leaders and fads and lead people away often.
Humberto, stay on hold if you would, because I'm going to send you a copy of this book by Oz Guinness, Prophetic Untimeliness. Thank you very much for the call. Before we go to the next one here, Greg, would you leave the fad-driven phenomenon at the doorstep of Luther and the Reformation?
No, certainly not. I mean, Luther, I mean, we could get into the discussion of the fact that the universal church can't be fragmented, but leaving that aside, Luther and the Reformation was concerned for the truth, and the truth doesn't divide. The truth unites people to Christ and to his body. And so the concern for truth can never divide. I mean, often those who are sticklers for the truth are accused of being dividers, but they're not. It's those who depart from the truth who divide and scatter the sheep. But the concern for the truth always has to be paramount, and this is what God wishes his church to be, and what the church is, a place of truth.
Or call in number 1-800-730-2727. We have a few free phone lines. 1-800-730-2727. Up next, Carolyn in Chillicothe, Missouri. Carolyn, welcome. Thank you for waiting.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi.
The question I have is, especially with youth, I think the big thing now is where you have kind of a church that displays the words of songs, and you have a lot of praise songs, and I'm just wondering where you draw the line between getting people interested in coming to church to teach them about Christ and where you cross over into just entertainment.
Carolyn, good question. Thank you very much. It's what a mutual friend of ours would call church's theater. I'm thinking here about Dr. Larry Rast says oftentimes in church today, it has become more theater than church. Your thoughts on it, Greg?
Yes, well, that's an excellent comment. And this is a fad in and of itself, praise songs and church as theater, church as entertainment. And this is a part of this whole cultural phenomenon, call it what you want, where the church is chasing after this and imitating the culture outside, this entertainment-driven, where we try to make people happy and entertain them so that they'll stay in our pews and so forth. And it's, you know, just that whole model, quite apart from whether, you know, where's the line between a praise song and a hymn, I would ask, you know, what is that whole model about of entertainment and theater? Why are we even going down that road at all?
Can we at least pursue a little bit here for a minute, Carolyn's question on where you draw the line when it comes to attracting unbelievers to church? Someone's going to say, look, the line needs to be drawn way over here because the unbeliever is going to be attracted by something that's more entertainment-oriented. And, of course, we want to give them more than that in time, but for the time being, if it gets them into church, it must be a good thing to entertain them. Someone else is going to say, no, that line needs to be way over here on the other side, and we can't play that bait and switch.
Mm-hmm.
How do we sort that out, Pastor Holmes?
Well, I think, first of all, to say that the people who, and I know a lot of them, pastors and lay people who pursue this entertainment worship, praise songs, praise bands, and so forth, are often well-meaning, and they do indeed want to get newcomers or the unchurched into church, and that's of course a good thing. It's something that we should do, but I think that you use the word bait and switch, and I think that's often what happens. First of all, I have serious doubts as to whether praise bands actually get people into church that wouldn't be there anyway. I think often what happens if a contemporary service's attendance goes way up, it's sucking people away from the other services, and it's Christians who are there anyway who are going, number one. And number two, I think that we do the people a disservice, and again, I think we were talking about this earlier in the other hour about how the church gets mocked and so forth, and people who are really looking for some deep answers get turned off. And if they want a praise band, they want rock and roll, they want to have their toes tickled, they'll watch MTV. But if people are seriously looking for Christ and for salvation and for meaning in their life, I don't think they're going to get it from a praise chorus that goes over and over.
Pastor Greg Holmes is our guest. We're talking about the fad-driven church. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina. He's authored an article in the latest Touchstone magazine titled Wearing the Cross, Servant Leadership, and Other Pastoral Fads. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Carolyn was just our caller. Carolyn, stay on the line. I'm sending you a copy of this book by Oz Guinness called Prophetic Untimeliness. It'll speak, I believe, in a deeper way directly to the question that you posed there, Carolyn, so thank you for the call. 1-800-730-2727 and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Gene Edward Veith, culture editor for World Magazine, on the value of LCMS World Relief.
Well, you know, whenever I see news of a disaster or a terrorist attack or a natural calamity, I hear that just immediately they're on the front lines of this. And as a Lutheran, I feel so proud about that, not in a boastful way, but I feel happy that Lutherans care about the suffering of others, as our theology teaches us to, that we're to live out our faith in love and service to our neighbors.
LCMS World Relief provides Christ-centered, cross-focused care and concern. For more information, contact them at 314-996-1683 or look for the LCMS World Relief logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Greg Olms is our guest. We're talking about the fad-driven church. Let's go back to the phones. Charles calls from Fenton, Missouri. Charles, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues Etc.
How's it going?
Very well.
I have a question, and it's if we, the gospel says that we're supposed to serve God and work for man, then why do we have to join the bandwagon and join the world, and it's all is bad and all the glory? And it makes no sense to concord in Scripture. And Psalm 115:1-3 talks about it's not to us, it's to God and His love and faithfulness, all for His glory. And we're supposed to have a relationship with the Holy Father. If a church is not doing that, they're not Christian. They're praying to idols and using different things to satisfy for the moment that they're there, but we need eternal salvation. We need the Scripture.
Charles, thank you for the call. Let's see if we can deal with one of the issues that he raises here, Greg, and that has to do with, he said, kind of seeking for glory. We talked earlier, not in so many words, but we did talk earlier about a theology of the cross, that is, the cross of uncertainty. Contrast that with many of these fads that seem to say, look, you can measure your success in a way that is going to be visible and measurable and quantifiable to you, and they're surefire. Sounds a lot like a theology of glory to me. God will bless you, and here's the surefire method.
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, many of them are based on what you call a theology of glory. That is, you know, we gain our certainty. We gain our assurance from things that we can see, and many times in these fads, that assurance, at least as the way they're operated, the assurance that we know these fads are good, or the book or the program, is that they work, that you know they're popular, that people come, our numbers go up, our offerings go up, our attendance goes up, and that becomes the assurance and the certainty that these things are of God and are pleasing to God, rather than, as we were talking earlier, a theology of the cross, which is based on faith, that is, Christ on his cross is the power for salvation, and that oftentimes the life of faith is hidden. That's what faith is, that we trust God despite the fact that we're not able to see or know, just like when the pastor tells us our sins are forgiven, and we still feel them, we still see them, and yet faith says that Christ on his cross has taken them away. That's an uncertainty, it's a tension, where these fads and the way they're used kind of dissipates that tension by saying, you know, they're working, and let's go with that.
So to what degree, Pastor Holmes, is that the influence of the culture? Because the culture, and it can't be blamed for this because it's just the nature of secular culture, is pragmatic, results-oriented. Mm-hmm. Want to see things get done, and in the culture, that's the way business runs, that's the way government runs, that's the way every human enterprise runs,
mm-hmm.
on that pragmatic basis.
Yes, well, and many of these fads and the way that they're used is, you know, simply put, the church is surrendering to the culture, is surrendering to the pressures that it feels and that people feel to have this success, to be pragmatic. And, you know, I think it's a surrender, it's a mistake, it's something that, you know, when we look back 100 years from now, it's going to be a mark of this time that's not a good mark as we look back and see how these things developed.
We'll go to some email here. This one comes from, we'll talk with Steve. Let's do Travis in Windsor, Colorado. He writes this: good topic tonight. I was wondering if you and your guests could comment on how successful these fad-driven churches have been in teaching erroneous doctrine. He cites the Left Behind series. He says it's played a huge role in directing the pop Christian rapture teaching, and Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life teaches readers what they should do, not what Christ did. I suppose we must work harder to teach purity and doctrine in Christ crucified, so that others will not so easily be led astray, blown here by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. He cites Ephesians chapter 4. Your thoughts, Pastor Holmes?
Well, he's absolutely right. And they have been very successful in teaching erroneous doctrine. And I think the one that he mentions, the Left Behind series, is proof. I mean, it's enormously popular. And I find, as a parish pastor, local pastor, I mean, you know, if it's, you know, people just don't, you know, if they haven't been catechized, they come in and they just simply believe that this Left Behind series is what the Bible teaches, that this, it becomes the default mode of people thinking about the end times. And so it does have an enormous effect. I mean, they are successful in putting those out, and we do have to work hard at catechizing, at talking about these fads and these programs, pointing out where they are deficient, and grounding people in the truth.
How much does the fad-driven church, these churches that have become kind of the fad mills, how much do they promote an idea that false doctrine is neutral? It's not malignant. It may not be beneficial, but it's neutral.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I think what they've contributed to, they do contribute to that. I believe that. I agree with that. And I think what they do it in a couple of ways. Number one, I think they just contribute, and we've kind of said this in different ways, to a dumbing down of the church. That is, you know, if something's going to be popular and mass-produced, it has to be at a simple level. And so doctrine itself just becomes less important. People, you know, in these fad-driven churches are just, you know, they may say they're in the Word, but they're not really talking about what the Word talks about. I mean, they're talking about other concepts, and they're using the Bible to promote these concepts. So, and then as long as then if doctrine is de-emphasized, which it is, then you know false doctrine. People will say, well, you know, at least you know we're talking about Jesus, and you know if it's a false doctrine, well, it's not that important anyway. So, yeah, I think that they do that, and that's you know that's some serious stuff.
You know,
to be involved in.
To be quite honest, what I've noticed is that often, at least in practice, the idea here doesn't cut both ways. The churches, say, for instance, that are doing 40 days of purpose, pastors will look at this and they'll admit, oh, it's got false teaching in it.
Mm-hmm.
But when these same pastors are asked to give their parishioners another viewpoint on the purpose-driven life, a critical viewpoint on the purpose-driven life. No, we don't. We weren't going to give them a critical viewpoint of it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cut both ways.
Right.
This standard of you know, we can take the good and throw out the bad doesn't cut both ways when it comes to criticisms of the popular fads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Because pastors and congregations have staked their well-being, staked their congregational life on these programs. And to have somebody come in and question them, questions how that pastor is going about going about his ministry and is directing the congregational ministry, and then it throws his whole way of going about things into question. And I've experienced that same thing. They get quite defensive.
Pastor Greg Alms is our guest. We're talking about the fad-driven church. When we come back, some more of your email. Also, you can give us a call during this break, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back, we're going to talk about the degree to which many of the fad-driven churches have made themselves, unintentionally, but made themselves a marketer's paradise. They are now ready to pull out their wallets and spend money on the next thing that comes along, sight unseen. Sight unseen. And what more could a marketer want than that? We'll be right back.
Here's what Issues Etc. regular guests are saying about Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, a reader's edition to the Book of Concord. Matt Harrison says, this edition of the Concordia, with its magnificent illustrations, paintings, notes, and other useful study materials, will make hearts burn with passion for the clear, pure gospel. Dr. Norman Nagel says, the small catechism is a good start, but there is so much more here to nourish, deepen, and defend our faith. And Dr. Beverly Yonke says, Concordia is an essential companion for everyone who owns a Bible. Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, is our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. You can find out more at our website at issuesetc.org. Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Equipping the priesthood of all believers. Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Dr. Dean Wenthy, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Wenthy, how is Concordia Theological Seminary unique?
Our birthright, as it were, is the Christ's presence and his gifts. At the center of all we do here is our confession and worship of Christ and the Holy Trinity, so that more than being simply an academic institution, we're a worshiping institution. We gather as those baptized into Christ. We hear the living voice of Christ through the Scriptures, and we attend His holy table where He gives us His very body and blood. And I think every other aspect of our life together in community, in academic work, in practical and outreach missions, flows from that time around font and altar, where we again hear the saving and truthful word of Christ, and then go forth to share it and to learn how to share it with the whole world. If you look over the Christian landscape, classic Lutheran theology is not frequently held up in its sacramental fullness and in its the beauty of scriptural witness. And that's our conviction, that by doing this, we may be unique, but we believe we're doing the very best we can for our fellow human beings in holding up Christ and Him crucified with scriptural clarity and with the sacramental gifts that He has bestowed upon His people.
So are you excited about the future of Concordia Theological Seminary?
In every way. I can't believe the blessings that we have been given. As we Lutherans say, not with any merit or worthiness on our part, but by God's grace, He continues to lead talented and dedicated men and women to give their lives to Him and to the truth of the gospel. And I'd like to invite any of your listeners to come and visit us, but more than visit, worship with us, be my guest for a campus tour, and see how our life revolves around this wonderful truth that the incarnate Christ has brought to our world.
That's Dr. Dean Wenthe, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, call them toll-free at 1-877-287-4338 or visit them on the web at www.ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're taking your calls and your email on the Fad-Driven Church. Our guest, Pastor Gregory Olms, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina, and author of an article in Touchstone Magazine, the latest edition of Touchstone, titled Wearing the Cross, Servant Leadership, and Other Pastoral Fads. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, and our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Steve writes this from Kansas City, Pastor Olms. It's a good question, actually. It seems apparent that the Christian congregations emphasizing contemporary music and secular themes in their preaching are growing more rapidly than traditional Orthodox churches, and they seem to be drawing a large number of the unchurched to worship. If it is your guest's belief that this modern, trend-driven approach to worship is in error, then are the members currently joining these trend-driven congregations lacking true faith, or is it his belief that if these trend-driven congregations were not in existence, that the members would still be joining the Christian church, but they would instead be joining more Orthodox congregations because there would be no competition from these trend-driven congregations? If these trend-driven congregations are actually successful in winning more souls to Christ, aren't they fulfilling the Great Commission? Or is it possible that the short-term gains in membership in the trend-driven congregations could have long-term negative impacts on church growth in general? Your thoughts on Steve's email, Pastor Holmes?
Well, very thoughtful email. A long one. I can't remember the whole thing.
Well, let's deal with it one at a time.
Okay.
Is the growth that is being experienced by the fad-driven church, is this necessarily the result of the fads, or should we even concede what is so often taken for granted, is that these fads are drawing in the unchurched?
Yeah, that's. I was going to react to that a portion of his comment. That is, I've seen anecdotal evidence, and I couldn't cite the exact articles, but there is some evidence out there that I've read that. That many of these churches are not really drawing in the unchurched, but shifting around those who are already churched. That the people who are in these fad-driven churches are people who would be in church anyway, and are not really the unchurched per se, but are largely Christians from other denominations or those who are already churched who are drawn by this style of worship. So, I wouldn't concede that they're really popular in bringing people to the faith.
Well, isn't it telling in and of itself that the term of art has now become the unchurched rather than the unbeliever?
Right, right.
I mean, can these churches honestly say, these are unbelievers coming into our church? Well, no, 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 these are just people who haven't been to church in a while.
Right, right, right. So, and again, that subtly, I think, plays on this whole notion of success and numbers and building up. You know, one of the fads, frankly, is the idea of a megachurch, where the whole reason for the megachurch's existence is to be mega. I mean, to be big and to be huge and to offer all the programs and to have the huge thousands upon ten thousands that are there. And that distinction that you made between that terminology, you know, unchurched, rather than bringing people to the faith, is probably subtly a part of that. You know, we're bringing them in the church, we're building up our numbers, so forth.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, but one of the most famous mega churches in the U.S., Willow Creek in South Barrington, they readily admit that on their weekday so-called seeker services, their member services, middle of the week, many of the people who are attending that are actually members at other denominational churches in the Chicago area.
Right.
They're simply coming in kind of to supplement their Sunday morning church going. On Sunday, they're in their church, and on Wednesday, they're at Willow Creek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hadn't heard that, but that doesn't surprise me at all.
The second question that Steve poses here is whether or not the short-term gains in membership in the trend-driven congregations, as he puts it, could have long-term negative impacts for church growth in general. Your thoughts?
Well, it certainly could. You know, I think when you have these kind of churches and you're forming people's faith, which is what you're doing, whatever you're doing, you're forming their faith in a certain way, and these short-term gains, if they are, you're not really feeding the people or giving them sustenance and forming them in a scriptural way. I think over the long term, these people are likely, or certainly, I would think, are likely simply to fall away. And you know, one Christian fad could lead to fads that aren't so Christian. And if you're just gonna leaven and throw your hands up and say, well, it has a little bit of false doctrine, but at least we're getting them in the church, then, you know, those false doctrine proportions, if you're gonna slice it out that way, it could grow. And plus, people are just going to get bored. I mean, the culture does a much better job of entertaining people than the church can ever do. And, you know, they'll just go off to something else. And I've sometimes compared it to whether, you know, our job in the church and our goal is to have a, and I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, but, you know, are what we after in the church to have a bunch of dandelions? You know, they grow quick. It rains. They pop up in my yard, but then they're gone again. Or are we after, you know, a forest that has trees that are sturdy, that are rooted, that takes time and patience, and can't always see that a tree grows. You know, you can see the dandelion; it's there, it pops up, but it grows. But the tree, you don't always see the growth there, but it's going to be there for a long time. What are we really after? What is God really after in the church?
You know, one of the things I'm concerned about in terms of just the fad drivenness in many Christian congregations is, and you see this in the culture very readily, every fad has to be, it's got built-in obsolescence to begin with,
mm-hmm.
but the next thing has to top it.
Right.
The next thing has to be bigger, better, more of whatever the first one was, or something different than what the first one was.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be an impulse in the church that is not going to lead a church toward more faithfulness, but toward more kind of experimentation, testing the boundaries, pushing the edge of the envelope, and saying, what can we get away with rather than how are we being faithful to God's word?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's the, you know, what'd you do for me today? I mean, you know, last week we had, you know, I could try to make something up, but whatever, you know, it would never top. You know, last week we had clowns doing this, that, the other thing. What are we going to do next week? You know, you can't do clowns again because, you know, that's a rerun. We've already seen that. So, you know, you just, like you said, I mean, you've nailed it. I mean, you just get more and more out on the edge because you got to keep these itching ears satisfied and entertained.
This is Paul from Milwaukee, and he writes this via email. Does the Bible itself speak to the concept of the fad-driven church, if not in so many words? And he poses two rather humorous possible candidates for the fad-driven church in Scripture. The first, he says, is the desert church of St. Aaron in the whole Exodus chapter 32 golden calf incident. And the other one he talks about a little more seriously is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul writes, I charge you in the presence of God, who is the judge of the living and the dead, by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in and out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort. And then he says, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. And you just quoted this, Pastor Alms, but will accumulate to themselves a great number of teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths.
Mm-hmm.
Do these two incidents of the golden calf and perhaps Paul's more sober words there in 2 Timothy speak to the fad-driven church?
Sure. I absolutely think so. I mean, I think even though it is a little humorous, the Aaron and the golden calf, you know, they do speak to it because, you know, Moses is up on the mountain and people have nothing to see, no evidence. They want something that they can see and excites them and something they can feel right away now. And so, boom, here comes the golden calf. And the Timothy passage certainly applies as well, where people are wanting to have the doctrine turned their own way and to suit their own needs. Absolutely.
And then one other thing that Paul adds in here, he says, at one level was Luther, speaking of Martin Luther, combating a fad in the whole indulgence controversy at the time of the Reformation?
Well, yeah, in a certain way. I mean, depends how you define fad, but I hadn't thought about it that way, but I think there's a valid point to be made there that in the indulgence controversy was something that had crept up, and some of the same things as you think about it. There was a profit motive involved in the indulgence controversy, and it was popular. People were looking for assurance. They were looking for certainty, but were being presented with false certainty, false assurance. I think you could make that case.
Pastor Greg Alms is our guest. We're talking about the fad-driven church. And when we come back from this break, we've got 10 minutes left in our conversation with him and some more questions for him. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Greg Alms is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina. He has written an article in the latest Touchstone magazine titled Wearing the Cross, Servant Leadership, and Other Pastoral Fads. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, along with an article that I have written recently called The Fad-Driven Church, right there at our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, it's always posed this way when someone criticizes the fads that come and go in the church. Well, look, what's your alternative? If you don't have an alternative, we're going to go with this fad. And was Jesus, in any sense, fad-driven? We'll be right back. Pastor Chad Bird, Associate Professor of Old Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why you should consider scheduling a visit to their campus today.
The church is always in need of pastors to preach the gospel and to administer the sacraments. And so we love to have any men who are interested visit our campus, learn what goes on here, sit in on classes, get a feel for what it's like to attend the seminary, and to consider the ministry as a calling in order that God might be served in the preaching of His Word and the giving of His gifts.
To schedule an on-campus visit at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call them toll-free 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Concordia Theological Seminary logo.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc. If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
Welcome back to the last 10 minutes of Issues Etc. as we talk about the fad-driven church with Pastor Greg Alms. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go back to the phones. Rick calls from Columbus, Indiana. Rick, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, I'm enjoying the show tonight.
Thank you.
Our church did the 40 Days of Purpose, and before that we'd done Experiencing God. And just, you know, when it's over with and you talk with people about it, there's kind of a letdown, and people don't, they just kind of think about, well, what did we learn? Did we learn anything? And that sort of thing. I think it's kind of a frustration, and that's why you look for the next fad. It kind of tries to build people up. I don't know if it's kind of like, you can compare it to a drug or something. I don't know. But I just think this is going to play out, especially in Lutheran circles where we have such a strong theology, if our pastors will use it, that people are just, I don't know. I really sensed it in our church that people didn't really get a lot out of the 40 Days of Purpose, and it was really kind of a letdown at the end. So,
thank you very much, Rick. I talked a little bit earlier about fad fatigue, Pastor Alms, and Does it have a force of gravity to it, where eventually people just say enough of this?
Yeah, I think it will, and I think it does, and I think Rick expressed that just now, that you know, you get done with it, and then you look back and you wonder what it was all about. And you know, I think the alternative to fad fatigue and to all of these fads, and we haven't really mentioned it, I think, is, you know, solid doctrine, but also solid doctrine that's expressed in the worship, because that's where many of these fads are experienced. It becomes the sermon series, it becomes the basis of the worship. And, you know, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but the historic worship that the church has used for thousands of years, with, of course, variations for local practice and age and custom and so forth, but that, just that weekly diet, week in, week out, you know, just forms people in the faith, and there's no, you know, really emotional high or no letdown when you're done, because you know, it's there every week, and it forms you. It's a foundation, and it's full of God's word and correct teaching, and it's just such a blessing when it's done well and treasured and valued.
Rick mentioned the letdown, and I'm glad you offer that solid alternative, Pastor Alms, but that becomes kind of the insidious thing about a fad-driven church. You have your highs, you have your lows, and then you have that desire for the next fix, recapture the high, wherever it was, even if it was just a moment's high, you want it back, and so you go on to the next thing.
Right, right, and that fuels that, you know, well, we're done with this one, we better quick and get something, or else people are going to leave, or they're going to be unhappy, or they're going to be bored. We've got to find something else, and that ties in with that that tendency you mentioned a few minutes ago about, you know, you got to top what you did before, because, you know, the letdown, that's the drug analogy. Again, we don't want to go overboard with it, but, you know, it kind of fits where, you know, it doesn't work the same. You know, you got to have more and more just to create that same effect.
Couple final questions here. Can you explain to me the tendency? And this is what's really surprised me. Given the transient nature of these fads, given the fact that everybody knows they're come, when they come, they've got a shelf life, and they're going to be gone. Can you explain to me why, while they are in currency, they are often defended, especially by the pastors who introduce them, with a kind of ferocity that they wouldn't defend anything else? They will go to the mat for these things, knowing full well that 2 years from now, they won't even be talking about these things anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it has to do with not just the individual fad itself, but this is the way in which pastors have chosen to go about their entire ministry. So when an individual fad is questioned or attacked, you know, they will defend it because in the end they're defending their whole ministry. I mean, the way they go about their ministry. I mean, that's my take on it, that, you know, they're staking their position in the church on what is often success, you know, numbers-driven things. And when you come in there and attack a particular program that they have, you're really attacking their whole approach.
You spoke to this just a moment ago, but I want you to explain in greater detail. The argument is often made by the fad-driven church or the advocate of fad-drivenness. Look, what's your alternative? If you don't have an alternative for us, then you can't criticize it.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you respond to that?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, it's doctrine, it's scriptural teaching, it's scriptural worship, which is, I would define as the historic kind of worship that the Lutheran Church has always employed. That's the alternative. The alternative is not going to be, you know, we have an alternative that's going to get the same number of people or get people excited in the same way. The alternative is to say, here is Christ and his gifts. Here is the, on a humanly speaking level, you know, here's the way the church has always worshipped. Here's the way people have been formed in the faith for thousands of years. And here is the wisdom that has come through that. Here is the teaching that we find in the scripture. Let's stick with this, and let's drop out of this whole fad-driven crazy thing. Let's say we're going to be the church now, and we're going to pay attention to what God says in His Word, and not worry about what the culture says or how we have to do this or do that because this other church is doing it. Let's drop out of that whole race and concentrate on Christ and His gifts and shift the paradigm, to use a popular phrase.
But you know the response to that is, Pastor Holmes, people don't want that in 21st century America. They want something new and different.
Well, you know, I think we started off this conversation or at some point talking about whether we're called to be popular or whether we're called to be faithful. And the church has endured times where the church was unpopular, the church was persecuted, and those apostles and martyrs and the fathers in our went before us were faithful. And that's what Christ calls us to be, faithful, not necessarily popular. And we'll let God's Word do its work and pray and trust in that Word, but we'll be faithful to the things God has given us.
Was Jesus fad-driven?
Well, I mean, no. I mean, absolutely not. I mean, it's kind of a strange question I hadn't considered. And no, he was the Son of God and was faithful to the will of his Father in spite of opposition, and was single-minded and not turning aside. You mentioned the temptations earlier, and if part and parcel of a fad is popularity, and the devil offered him, you know, the kingdoms of the world, and wanted him to do a neat trick by jumping off the pinnacle there, and Jesus rejected all of that. So, no, I don't see Jesus being fad-driven at all.
Folks, here's our mailing address. It's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Here's our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Now, you can use either of those to receive a free complimentary copy of our Next Issues Etc. journal, or to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our monthly donor program. It's called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. The address again, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Pastor Gregory Alms has been our guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Catawba, North Carolina, and author of this article in the latest issue of Touchstone Magazine titled Wearing the Cross, Servant Leadership and Other Pastoral Fads. Thank you very much for being our guest, Greg.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Was Jesus fad-driven? Ask yourself that question next time Pastor comes back from conference with the newest idea. Would Jesus do it? Would he feel the need to do it? Would he do 40 days of purpose? Think about that. I mean, it sounds funny to ask the question, but it's true. If Jesus were fad-driven, would he have gone to the cross? Would he have gone through what he did if he would have said, look, there's an easier way, there's a surefire way, there's a those Pharisees, they got all sorts of followers, and they make it sound so easy, and they get results. And Jesus met throughout his career, throughout his life that he lived for us, with a lot of very big disappointments, and the results just didn't come. But he was headed someplace that no fad ever could have taken him, to the cross for sinners. Go cold turkey. You might have some withdrawal pains, and you might miss the fads for a little while. But if you are fed on something that has nothing to do with any fads, but fed on the forgiveness of sins that come from Christ who went to the cross for you, on Bible study that's centered on what he did for you at the cross, you'll get over it, and pretty soon you won't need the fads anymore. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
What we do in times like this is pay close attention and recognize in it God's alien work to drive us to Jesus.
Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, on what Christians should know during times of disaster.
We should rejoice over our relationship with Christ, over our relationship with our family. We should speak forgiveness to those whom we have sinned against and those who have sinned against us. We should be quick to think about eternal things and not the ridiculous things that ball us up and bog us down, which are necessary for life, but rejoice in the eternal verities which sustain us.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, go to the Issues Etc. website, issuesetc.org, or call 314-996-1683, LCMS World Relief.